The Chris and Steph Podcast.
Right now, Chris, I'm excited to hear this story from you, and I'm surprised it's you who's brought it to the table.
Why are you surprised that I've brought a story about Jim to the table?
I think that answers its own question. Go on, bring it on. What have you got?
Oh, that was sharp and fierce. a couple in the US have got married in a 24-hour Planet Fitness gym. Cincinnati, Ohio is where they got married. The gym was where they first met and started dating, and so they thought the best way to conduct their vows would be to be inside that same gym and do it there.
Nah.
Yes. Newlyweds Joe and Stephanie Hughes.
What a name.
Their love story was sparked on the side of the fitness centre, and from there it took off. They started doing regular gym sessions together. Wink. You know what I mean? Regular gym sessions together. And even the Planet Fitness staff were on hand for the ceremony, one of which officiated the ceremony on an exercise bike.
Oh.
Is that true?
Oh, that's just a nightmare to
have
me.
Have we been fooled by an Onion article again?
It does feel that way, doesn't it? It sounds absolutely ridiculous. And I think...
Let loose. Go for it.
It's not just, like, your wedding day is just not all about you, all right? Can I say the poor bridesmaids and groomsmen who are like, I haven't been in a gym in 2 years. What do you want me to do? Get on an elliptical to walk down the aisle? Like, I just would be ropeable. And, you know, like, it's just... What do you have for, like, food and catering and stuff?
Protein shakes and protein balls. Yep, that's exactly right.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. But you only have them after your workout. You have your pre-supplements before you begin, so, you know.
The other great thing, I mean, the idea of your wedding is, like, that's the best you're ever going to look. Like, you're like, I was absolutely hot to trot on my wedding day. You know, I worked really hard and I lost the weight and I got there. Like, if you end up sort of stacking it back up on or in, you know, 10, 20 years' time and your kids are looking at your wedding photos and they're like, wow, Mum, you went to the gym?
You were at the gym, were you?
At the gym?
They even had bride and groom runners as well. And the wedding party posed on the cardio equipment in order to get the pictures of the 18-strong wedding party. So they had 18 in their wedding party. Huge.
I would not want to be in the wedding party.
All working out at the gym for the
how romantic. And
I mean,
was she in a dress? Like, she'd get sweaty in her dress. Yeah. Like, that is not the...
It's not the ideal thing to do. No, and save some energy for the night.
That's what I was thinking as well. Like, don't wear yourself out.
You want to be able to have some fun later, don't you? Just like, you know, don't go full-heartedly into the start of the day. Just like save some energy. You'll need it later on.
Yeah.
And then you're having a protein shake afterwards.
After that. That's a more appropriate time for protein balls.
I wouldn't have said that.
Like the hors d'oeuvres, he said.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's good. Sorry, I'm on a different playing field. It's now 6:20. Yeah, you save the protein balls for the wedding night, don't you?
Get up with Chris and Steph.
Right now, I just wanted to have a bit of a time to have a chat to you, Chris, about Friday afternoon and Friday evening when we all heard the really sad news that Connie Johnson, of course, Samuel Johnson's sister, had passed away.
Such a devastating story.
They're
feeling so helpless and empty and just so devastated by hearing the news of her passing.
Yeah, well, since her passing, just thousands upon thousands of people have been sharing Facebook posts. The post itself that Sam put up on his Facebook page actually was shared 43,000 times. And more than 54,000 followers of Connie's cancer charity. They all left heartfelt messages over Facebook. There was a website dedicated where you could leave your message to the family. And, I mean, this has been something that I think the whole country has been watching for some years now.
Well, they had the Love Your Sister movement.
Love Your Sister campaign.
Yeah.
You know, the ride around the country and everything.
Mm.
And I just really wanted to touch on the point that I received a stack of messages on Facebook across the weekend from a lot of my female friends and, you know, women in my contact list saying, you know, to put the heart as your status.
I saw that, yeah.
So you would have seen a lot of statuses with the heart just all over Facebook, and particularly on Sunday night, I think, is when it was really taking off last night. But I just want to take a moment to really quickly remind everyone, and it's something that Sam said when in his press release following the death of his sister, that it's so important that we don't just put hearts as our Facebook status and everything, that every woman, you know, who sent me this message, and that everyone woman who's put that up as their status, I think it's a really timely reminder to just please check your breasts.
Mm.
You know, that's what took Connie in the end, and I think that it's just so important to know, you know, the normal look, the normal feel. It's something that, you know, I've been quite passionate about on air to remind women every month. But
absolutely,
if you shared that love heart, if you're a woman listening, if you're a mother, any age, no matter what age you are, check your breast. It only takes a couple of minutes. Heck, ask your partner to help you out if you want to. It doesn't take long. And if you do find a lump, just make sure you schedule an appointment. And, you know, like 8 out of 10 lumps are benign. So you don't need to panic. Like if you find a lump, don't stress too much. Just get to your GP as soon as possible so they can check it. Because, you know, it's just awful. And I think that's what I'm sure Connie would want all the women who are sharing their love hearts and everything and all this outcry. Just, you know, check your breasts. Just do it.
You're right in saying, like, it takes 2 seconds to share the message, but it takes your own personal motivation. Go and take care of yourself.
Yep.
And go make sure that you are checking that you're okay.
Yep.
And if you do find something, that you're taking the proactive steps and you're going to see.
Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. You're getting to the doctor. And yeah, just for women getting ready this morning on their way to work, and women who, you know, thought and put their heart out to Connie and her family this week, just do it. Check your breasts this morning. As soon as you get out of the shower, it'll only take a couple of minutes, and it could save a life. It could save your life. So just that would be what I'd like to remind everyone of today.
What a beautiful woman she was too, Connie.
Wasn't she just gorgeous? And I mean, the way that Sam, like, she was a mother, and you know, the camaraderie that she had with Sam as well, I think is absolutely beautiful.
The love that Sam had for her, oh my goodness.
And the money they've raised, like, it's a huge amount of money that they've raised towards, you know, cancer research and looking after cancer patients. They just a phenomenal team, you know, brother and sister, and it's, you know, it's sad to see her pass on Friday, but, you know, the day before, just, and I know we're going a bit too long, but the day before she was offered a Medal of the Order of Australia from her hospice.
I did see that. She just got it, yeah.
Yep, for her work on behalf of all cancer sufferers, which was so well-deserved. And, you know, Sam said they spent their last day just talking about childhood and memories, and, you know, she had all her family there. And, so important, ladies, so important.
Go and, go
check
and
your breasts.
Check yourself.
The Complaints Hotline.
Hello?
Thank you for your call. Your call is important to us. We will get to you shortly.
It is time to complain. 13, 12, 16. If you want to get something off your chest this morning, this is the platform to do it on.
Yeah, we'll hear you out. We'll probably be on your side. Most likely, maybe, possibly.
Well, at least listen.
Yeah, it's a chance to have a cathartic complaint and just, you know, you'll feel a lot lighter afterwards.
I would like to say teabag manufacturers, if you're not nailing the little bit of string attached to the tag that goes to the tea bag, you need to take a long, hard look at yourself, because I've had so many tea bags lately that have just fallen straight in because
stapled on properly?
The ripcord thing's not stapled on properly. Bang, straight in the drink, and I'm left with a piece of string, and that's it. And they're straight in the drink, and that's it.
And that's really grinding your goat.
Grinding my goat. I mean, you got one job, make it properly. I mean, it's a tea bag. It's not rocket science.
Oh, poor Twinings are about to receive your letter.
I'm not saying who it is.
No.
And I love the good people at Twinings, so it's probably not them. So it's someone, but, you know, don't cut corners. Don't, like, not make your tea bag properly.
I hate when the little one up the end, you know, the little, what is it? The not the tea bag is one end, and then they've got the little square at the other end.
Yeah, the little taggy thing.
Yeah, I hate when they're made of like a paper that gets really like icky in the water. Like I like the ones that are sort of that plasticky, waxy finish, so that they don't go all soggy.
I've always thought that the tag thing should be heavier, so it doesn't get sucked into the drink when you drop the bag in, because that's a big risk.
That's a smart idea.
Yeah, a heavy weighted tea bag is a good thing.
Can I just say that we kind of sound like people, like, in a retirement village right now? Oh, Mabel, the tea bags, I tell you, they don't make them like they used to. Tea bags, they just fall straight in. I've made 6 cups of tea this morning. 6 cups. Now, to those 6 cups, 3 of them has fallen in because the string's not on what should be.
What we're trying to illustrate is the complaints hotline is for anything tedious. It doesn't have to be, you know, someone's hit my car. Like, it can just be tea bags, get your string right. Like, that's what it can be.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. That's all it could be. 13, 12, 16, if you've got a complaint that you'd like to share with us this morning, we're willing to hear it. It's probably better than your tea bagging issues.
Yes, it probably is. I mean, 13, 12, 16.
You're with us and you've got teabagging issues, 13, 12, 16.
Let us know your complaints this morning on 13, 12, 16 for the complaints hotline.
You handled that better than I thought. Chris and Steph to get you up, and all thanks to our friends at Harvey Norman Computers Orange. Very soon, the science behind why you may or may not love Vegemite.
Could all be in the genes.
We'll do that soon.
The complaints hotline.
Hello? Thank you for your call. Your call is important to us. We will get to you shortly.
And it's time to have a bit of a whinge about anything you like. We were just saying moments ago, tea bags. What's with the string? Can you get it right so they don't fall in? And you're left with a bit of string, like, so they're not stuck in your tea and you've got nothing to hoik it out with.
Tough life you lead, Chris.
Poor tea bag manufacturing makes up a vast majority of the stress in my life.
Really?
Teabagging is just huge stress in my life.
Huge stress in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, wow. How do you have your tea? By the way, just on a side note, milky, or do you like it? Like, do you like tea, or do you drink green tea, herbal tea? What kind of tea drinker are you?
Oh, I like a good milky tea.
Ooh.
That's good. But I don't mind the green tea as well. Green tea's good for you. They say have a couple of that every now and then, don't they?
Kickstart your metabolism.
I'm not sure who. 13, 12, 16, what do you want to complain about? We've got Sean this morning on 13, 12, 16. What's happened to you, mate?
Well, during a game of mixed netball last week, my girlfriend injured her knee, and it turns out she's done her ACL.
Oh, the old ACL.
So what does that mean for you? Does that mean that you'll be doing a little bit of driving, that you're going to have to help save up to get it fixed? You know, what does that mean for you around the house? You're going to have to lift your game a little bit?
Yeah, I'm going to have to drive her everywhere. I'm going to have to do all the housework. So it's really disappointing for me while she gets to just sit down and...
The housework.
Yeah, she's just done her ACL. Like, now look what everything you've got to do.
Exactly right.
It's such a tough life when they are so inconsiderate in hurting themselves, and it makes more work for you.
Exactly.
Like, I get what he's saying, Sean.
All the everyday things that she does just... you know, constantly, the cooking, the cleaning, whatever it might be, and now he's going to have to, you know, pick up the slack.
I reckon he'll become the most productive he's ever been. He'll find new ways to not put all the pillows on the bed. He'll find new ways of, you know, doing the laundry just once a week, not every single day. He'll find new ways of, you know, just, you know...
The dream, you reckon? He'll find the dream.
Vacuuming up when there is a mess instead of every time that you feel like it needs a vacuum. Just vacuuming up when there's something on the ground.
Interested in 6 weeks' time when he says, oh, hey babe, didn't the doctor say you had 6 weeks of rest? Are you right to get up? And she goes,
Another six, got 12 weeks.
You're going to have to help out a little bit more.
Oh, just a little while longer. Just, you know, if
it's
you could.
It's a long recovery.
Now, if you could, carry me to the car. I've got to pop down the shops. Thank you very much, Sean. That is the complaints hotline. I tell you what, next, the science behind your love-hate relationship with Vegemite.
Yes.
Which I find interesting because I adore Vegemite. I love it to pieces.
It would have been a bit awkward if you said you hated Vegemite and you're sitting opposite me, because I'm like, I just don't know if we could be friends.
I'm like, give me a spoon, I'll finish off the jar. I'm like Vegemite, how people deal with
you're
Nutella.
You're a spread-it-thick kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, me. I'm that kind of girl.
It says in my profile on the website, he's a spread-it-thick kind of guy. Yeah.
When there's another groundbreaking development, you can trust one person to cover it.
You know, I'm a huge fan of science. Beakers, cane toads in half.
This is Steph's Super Sciencey Segment.
Vegemite science is what I have for you this morning, Chris.
Vegemite science.
A lot of people love it, a lot of people hate it. But the science I bring to you this morning is it could actually be genetics, which will determine whether you love or hate Vegemite.
Are you kidding? Really? I thought it was just like, you know, if you weren't raised on it or something like that. Often, you know, kids can be tough customers when it comes to food, and sometimes parents just go, you know what, okay, fine, you'll never have it again. I'll just leave it.
Not quite. It actually comes as new research. This is coming from the UK, and the research
We trust it then?
Well, it's on Marmite. However, just go with me.
Poor me.
Marmite's like their version. Yeasty spread.
Not that it's not good, I'm just saying.
They found, but it'll be similar to Australia.
Yeah, okay.
So they found there are 15 genes which determine whether or not people actually enjoy the taste. So a dietitian here in Australia has said that it would very likely also apply to Vegemite, and that because there's so many similarities between the two spreads, obviously.
Right.
And it's likely that we'll find the same results. So these food scientists actually conducted a study which examined the taste preference of about 300 people.
Okay, so what, yeah.
And they found that those who liked the Vegemite, or the Marmite as the case might have been, they had 15 genes that were very similar.
Which 15 genes?
Genes. So they were able to sort of say, you all share these genes, that's why you like the Vegemite or the Marmite.
Interesting.
Yes, yeah, so apparently, you know, we're each born with this blueprint which will show us, you know, a tendency to either love it or hate it.
Okay.
And like CSIRO, they've done heaps of studies that are really similar, and they said that genes play a big role if you sort of enjoy sweet things, savoury things or salty things.
Right.
Sort of if you fall into those categories, so it could be something to do with that. Now, I'm not just saying, like, I'm not saying that if mum and dad don't like Vegemite and you like Vegemite, then you're obviously adopted. Like, I'm not putting that out there or suggesting that in any way.
Don't take that as an indication to get the DNA test.
No.
I mean, just hold off on it for a sec. Do you have some actual solid evidence?
But, yeah, 15 genes are all connected in this, you know, people who liked Vegemite.
But was your family Vegemite family?
Yeah, more as, like, not as a breakfast spread, more as, like, an after-school snack. A Vegemite thing, or like I'd often take crackers with Vegemite. I bring Vegemite crackers into work quite often for breakfast.
As a kid, what was the biscuit that you'd have and you'd squeeze it?
Sayos.
Sayos,
yes. Yeah,
and then you get the Vegemite worms.
Mm,
they were the best.
Vegemite.
I can't. I see. I don't get people not liking Vegemite.
No, me neither.
I don't, because I just love it so much. And as I said before, give me a spoon, I'll finish off the jar like it's Nutella.
Oh, like when it used to come with the little sticks and the three biscuits. And
yes,
you're just like,
I forgot about those.
Like, yes.
Those were the best inventions ever. So good. But there you go. If you don't like Vegemite, it's possibly in your genes.
Hmm.
It's possibly.
All in the genes.
Blame it on mum and dad. Don't go and get the DNA test. This isn't solid evidence. Go and, you
this
know.
This is a little science.
Yeah, ask
and
around.
And it's about Marmite, so. I'm actually going to put a very important question out there on 13, 12, 16. I want to ask you this morning, if you use a flat sheet on your bed.
Okay.
Like a second sheet, a flat sheet.
I must, I'll be straight up and say I didn't believe in this topic when it was brought to the table, but I said, let's do it anyway. And I've been proven thoroughly wrong, because people on Facebook are just crazy about flat sheets.
Aren't they? I cannot believe the response we've had on Facebook. Bridget, she was like, no, but my partner does on his bed, so I end up almost strangling myself in my sleep. Sure, like, I don't think you strangle yourself when you use a top sheet, for goodness sake.
Well, I think what Bridget's trying to say there is she's a bit of an active sleeper. And
yeah.
If you're one of those, you toss and you turn and you end up dragging the sheet and wrapping it around your neck.
Well, Nikita said something similar. She was like, until my partner moved in and she was sick of, like, trying to tuck down his side of the bed all the time because he was such a wriggler.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of, like, I'm talking, we've got like 25 comments and it's still going on people being like, yes, no, because I went to buy sheets the other day.
Of course
on a sheet sale.
Yeah.
And I said to the, like, she was like, oh, you can just get
what
the
what kind of sale was it?
Sheet sale.
Oh, I thought it was a bad one. Sorry. Yeah.
and so I said, she's like, oh, you can just get the fitted sheet. I was like, why would I just want a fitted sheet? I want the set. And she's like, oh, a lot of people just prefer the fitted sheet, especially
come
summer. I was like, what is this savagery?
I've read articles that have been like, flat sheets, just like some sort of invented thing to make money. You don't need a flat sheet.
Of course you do. Then you have to wash your doona cover all the time. And if you spend a fortune on your doona cover, you don't want your doona cover fading.
Oh,
surely that's
a
thing.
Tough one.
It's on. Everyone on Facebook has an opinion on this. Everyone's like, you know, they don't get people who don't use a flat sheet. Like, I'm like that. I don't understand how people cannot use a flat sheet. No, this is something that I think.
I'm just going down the list of comments, right? I'm like, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of people saying
yes. People are passionate.
Yes, but I've just gone, is there any guys in there? There's not a single bloke who's written anything.
Andrew said,
that
nope, not me.
Andrew, and one from 30, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So did we add them up? What's the hot favourite? You've got to have it? Was that what we came out with? Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty split down the line, though. Like, it is virtually 50-50 on people saying yes or no. I just can't believe this sort of savagery exists. 13, 12, 16. Do you use a top sheet? Of course you do. Give us a call and let us know.
A top flat sheet.
Top flat sheet.
Interesting. All
call
right.
Us. 13, 12, 16. Ooh. Teach Chris a thing or two.
Oh, okay. So it's another one of these kick him in the guts kind of segments. Go for it. Go nuts if you want to. This morning on 13, 12, 16, what are we asking?
Top sheet.
Top sheet.
You know, your flat sheet, your top sheet. Do you use one? Yay or nay? It's divided our Facebook.
We've broken the internet.
Well, we've had lots of people commenting on Facebook. I put it up last night to be like, hey, who uses a flat sheet?
Mm.
And the whole internet's like, no, never. I hate them. Or, of course you do. It's germy and gross if you don't. Like,
so what's the issue with the flat sheet? So if you don't have one, you've got to wash your doona more or something.
More often, and then your doona fades. That's what I think. And also, like, for me, like, I like to sometimes throw the doona off. Like, I don't want doona on, but I still need, like, a little bit of comfort from the sheet.
We're heading into summer. You've got to have
you've got to have these sort of options.
Top flat sheet, yeah, absolutely.
And, like, in winter, doesn't it keep you all nice and snug when it's all cuddled around you and it's tucked underneath and you can hop into your flannelette sheets and you can be like, oh, I'm so warm because I've got flannelette sheets top and bottom.
Do you remember last hour on the show when I was complaining about tea bags?
Now I'm complaining about who has a top sheet. Alrighty.
Plenty of people commenting on Facebook. You said about 50-50, down the middle.
Down the middle, yeah. It's pretty much split evenly with people who are yes versus people who are no.
Rachel's joining us on 13, 12, 16. Which way are you voting, yes or no, Rach?
Absolute yes, but I think this might be a girl thing.
Yeah, it must be, because Crystal's going to be so blank at the moment. I'm like, this is a thing.
Absolutely. No, when I moved in with my boyfriend, he didn't have one, and we had a massive blue about it because I was like, you need to go buy a sheet. This is barbaric. Why are we just sleeping under the doona?
Yeah, and then you have to wash your doona cover all the time and it'll fade and it won't last nearly as long. Like, the idea is that you can only wash your doona cover sort of every third or fourth round of washing because you've got a flat sheet to keep you from the doona cover.
Yeah, boys don't get it.
Well, no, apparently not.
Can I just say, if you weren't going to fight about that, it was about having too many pillows on the bed. That's probably the other argument.
Yeah, that's a whole other
so many pillows. Takes me half an hour to remove all of them and then an hour to put them all back, and it's always in the wrong order as well. And apparently this one goes at the back and that one goes at the side.
You've got to lay the pillows properly.
Don't get pillows. Just have the pillows that you sleep on the bed. Like, that's all you need.
But then they don't look pretty.
Oh, come on. The bed's not about looking pretty. The bed's about sleeping, isn't it?
No.
Who's going to see it? Is a queen popping around to take a look later? It's just a bed.
It's nice to be able to have the doors open in a house and have a bed that's freshly made. It makes a big difference to atmosphere. It makes you feel happier. You can feel more at peace when your house is clean. Mm. It's good for your, like, mental well-being as well, I'm sure.
Join us next week on Better Homes and Gardens. we'll be covering which way should you plant your carrots. We'll do that next week. This story, Steph, you first brought to me last week, but it's been trending during the rounds, and I thought, let's bring it to the table this morning.
Yeah, we'll have a chat about it.
The girl who pranked her boyfriend into thinking that she'd shaved her head. This girl by the name of Amanda tricked her boyfriend Jared into thinking that she had shaved her head. She's sporting what I call the Uncle Fester, which is the bald on the top, but the party around the sides and the back.
Yes.
So you've still got a bit of hair. She sent it to him, and he's lost it. And she's put up.
She sent it via an app, as well. Yeah, like, it's an app that makes your hair disappear. Just if people are like, "How did she do it?" Yeah, an app.
So she did it with the app. She sent him the pictures. He's lost it. She's put up all of his text messages online, and he is just uncontainable. He doesn't know what to do. There's a lot of rude words in that conversation.
What have you done?
What have you done? Who put you up to this? No! Is this a nightmare? Blah, 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 blah. You better be lying, et cetera, et cetera. This has to be photoshopped. He can't understand. He can't fathom the idea that his girlfriend has shaved her head, even though she hasn't. What do you reckon about the story? Do you think that this is a relationship that needs a bit of work, or...?
Well, I think anyone who reads it, like, especially, I know I thought, if I sent a photo of myself with a shaved head like that to my partner and been like, wacky radio stunt, I don't think he'd be happy.
Don't think he'd be on
I do not think he would be happy. And it's that line of support, like, where do you draw the line, you know?
How,
like,
far can you... Yeah. How far am I willing to support you on your wacky journey?
Yeah.
I could say, I'm pretty sure that I could send a picture without my hair to Sarah and she would just be, God, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. That, I mean, she doesn't like any of the haircuts that I have anyway.
But what if she sent you a photo of her without hair?
Fine.
Yep.
That's fine.
You're beautiful and I support you no matter what, but I would have liked
without
to...
Hair.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would have liked to talk about this beforehand.
But see, you know, being surprised while you're at work, your partner's sending you a quick message, hey, look, got no hair now.
Oh.
What do you reckon?
It's a good app. Like, the hair looks like it's gone. Like, I would be like... confused.
I've searched, since looking at the story, I've searched the app store trying to find this app that's done so well, because legitimately it looks like she's lost her hair.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It doesn't, you can't see the lines or anything where the app's like subbed in the hairline and whatnot. You can't pick it. So they've done a sturdy job to sort of do that, but there you go. Would you like it? Would you support your partner whether they had hair or not? Whether it's their choice or not? So there you go. I like that idea.
Yeah.
If you find it today, do it with your partner. See how they take it.
Yeah, see
message
how they
us.
Go. That's love.
Just drop us a line on Facebook and let us know how it goes. But there you go.
The
interesting.
That was the Chris and Steph podcast. Thanks for listening, whoever you are.